Morning. So Pastor Dan approached me a couple of months ago and he said, Rick, I'm going to put you down for a sermon. I said, oh, good. And he put me down for late August. And I thought, well, that's a long way away. I've got plenty of time to think about it. Something's echoing here. And then he called me up last Friday and he said, Rick, I'm going to move you up. He said, I've double booked myself. And so he said, I have to preach at Wantirna today and also at Ringwood. And I said, well, you know, it's not much notice. And I knew that the next person to speak was going to have to say, yeah, I'm going to be preaching. And so then I said, wow, I got a good idea. I said, why don't I go to Ringwood and I can dust off an old sermon and deliver that there? He said, no. He said, what you don't know is that Ringwood Church is my father-in-law's church. And as everyone knows, Pastor Jorge is not to be messed with. And he was booked for his father-in-law's church. So here am I. And the title of our sermon is, my sermon is No Fear. Actually, when I turned up this morning, I looked across and I saw Jamie there, suit and tie and all tanned and handsome, and I thought, oh no, he's double booked me and Jamie. So, no. But anyway, Jamie's and just back from Europe. The No Fear apparel brand was related to extreme sports. And the idea that those who wore the logo had no fear of a way of life that celebrates both the human and competitive spirit in extreme sports such as mountain biking, snowboarding, surfing. And for a couple of decades, every young person you saw had a skateboard under this arm and was wearing a no fear cap or shirt or whatever, and the brand soon took its place amongst the longest running, which is O'Neill, Billabong, and Rip Curl, which is our very own Torquay brand, and Quicksilver. Everyone had a no fear cap as well as one of those other ones. And somehow the logo made its way into some Christian circles, and it was made to mean that a Christian had no fear of living a godly and purposeful, extreme Christian experience. However, things took a turn for the brand in January 2000 when a man by the name of David Duke, a former Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, left the KKK and formed the No Fear organization. It's called the National Organization for European American Rights. No fear. Yeah, problem. So Duke claimed that the group's mission is to fight what he says is widespread discrimination against white people of European descent. That's me. I don't feel discriminated against. And I don't have any reason to discriminate against anyone else. So there was a legal stalemate for a couple of years when David Duke said, well, I didn't even know that there was a No Fear brand. And because they had filed suit against him and told him, you're not allowed to use that name. Now, he didn't know anything about it. It's probably true. And so finally, after 2 years of legal wrangling in 2002, he was charged and pled guilty to tax evasion, mail fraud, and for using cash raised to support white supremacist causes to pay for his own gambling habit and, wait for it, home improvements, as you do. David Duke's organisation was finished, but unfortunately it took No Fear down with it. And the No Fear brand had so much mud slung around it that it didn't survive. But maybe No Fear should have just said nothing, because, yep, here it is. We're in the same boat. Yeah, if they just said nothing, maybe nothing would have happened. But fear. The Greek word phobos is the word for fear, and it's most commonly associated with one of the moons of Mars, but also this Greek god is the personification of fear and panic. And I guess each of us can look back at a time when we were almost overwhelmed with fear. I remember being a 15-year-old boy. We got a problem? The battery's low? Ah, turn it on. Okay. You've been switching it. Okay. I was a 15-year-old boy when the movie The Exorcist came out. And all of my friends were talking about this terribly scary movie, and it was a big hit on the big screen. And I hadn't seen it. And so then one Saturday night, I'm kind of walking home early, and I passed the village cinema, and this was on. And so on a whim, I bought a ticket and went in by myself. I found my seat next to two very attractive young women, and I thought, well, this is good. If they start getting scared, I could probably be helpful there. But man alive, was I in for a shock. I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. In 1973, seeing a young woman's head spin around and pea soup vomit was state-of-the-art graphics, but you know, today we would just snigger at it, but it was terrifying, absolutely terrifying. The girls tried to calm me down. I just kidding. that night, I remember I had to walk home a couple of kilometres alone and behind every tree and up every dark space, there were monsters. Monsters everywhere. And I remember fumbling for my key in the lock and monsters over my shoulder, and then there were monsters in the wardrobe and monsters under my bed. I was terrified. It took me a week before I could sleep. But we do live in a scary world, don't we? Not everything's kosher. Bad things happen. And bad things happen to good people. And I read in the Bible, it says this. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The entrance of sin into the world was also the entrance of fear into the world. I was afraid. The first use of the word in the Bible is right there in Genesis. Why would they be afraid of their best friend? The one who they spent so many hours with in the cool of the day, it says, taking advice and chatting and learning. Well, they were afraid of the words that God had said. In the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. Now, I've heard commentators saying what that actually means is dying, you shall die. In other words, you'll grow old and die. But I'm not buying that. And I don't think Adam and Eve are buying it either. They were hiding because today was the day. You shall surely die. And the nakedness that Adam refers to is not so much a lack of clothing, but it was a lack of something else. Something was missing. The lady that wrote to the church said that this sinless pair were clothed with the glory of God. That was missing. And they were alone, and they were defenseless, and they were afraid, and they were waiting for the death penalty. And they hid. Had not there been a Redeemer to step in right at that moment and promise to one day take their place, the penalty would have been carried out. And this is why we are all here today. We humans have lived in the presence of fear ever since. Will we have enough food? Jesus feeds 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Our job is to hunger and thirst after righteousness, not food. How will we be clothed? Look at the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin, yet even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Our job is to make sure that others are clothed and fed, even to giving our spare cloak to one who has no cloak. There are hundreds of stories in the Bible where God, aware of our human frailty, encourages us. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Four imperatives in the one sentence. Four imperatives in the one sentence. Now, there's a trendy internet meme that keeps popping up every now and then, which says that in the Bible, the phrase "do not be afraid" or similar is found 365 times, one for every day. Well, I did the maths. Do not be afraid, fear not, be not afraid, be not anxious. 336. Well, maybe I use the New English Version or the English Standard Version, and maybe if you used a different version, you might come up with another phrase and you can find another 30 or so, but or whatever. But here's the interesting thing. There's 273 in the Old Testament and 74 in the New. The Old Testament is roughly 3.5 times bigger than the New Testament. And so 74 goes into 273, around 3.5 times. So God at least is consistent with the number of times he's encouraged his people to don't be afraid throughout the scripture. You can probably count a few more. It's not important. There will come a time when men's hearts will fail them for fear and for looking upon those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. But the advice to us is, now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Which camp are you in? It'll be interesting to see. I've actually asked the sound gurus to play a little YouTube clip for me. They'll bring that up. But the image is, it's a Simpsons clip. There's a church and there's a Moe's bar, a pub. And all of a sudden, there's this darkening and thunder. There's no sound. They couldn't get any sound. Go ahead, gurus. Play it again. Sorry about there's no sound, but can you play it again? Yeah. There's a big boom and there's darkness. That's funny. That's real funny. You know, I heard a story about during the Second World War, there was a church, and church was functioning and everybody was there worshipping. And suddenly some German soldiers came in the back door and walked to the front and set up a machine gun. And they locked the back doors and they said, right, everyone who is a true Christian, stay here. But if you're just a Sunday Christian, you can leave. About 80 or 90% of the church left. And they closed the doors again. And they said, they put the machine gun down and then they said, we've heard about your God and we only want the true Christians to tell us about him. No, she's fine, let her go. When Christ returns, are people going to be punished? Yeah. The punishment that was meant for Adam and Eve passes from them and falls upon others. Now, last Sabbath, Pastor Daniel asked us to put up our hands if we thought we were going to heaven. And everyone put their hand up. I did. I want to be part of that group. And I know you do too. That's why you're here. He tricked us though. You know, ministers are crafty, aren't they? He said the benediction and got us all to stand. And then it was easy. The next step was to put up our hands. But so when these terrible things occur, just prior to Jesus' return, do we have anything to be afraid of? Well, yeah. Yeah, we're human. In Revelation 21, I read, the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly, the faithless, and all liars, their portion will be the second death. There is another interpretation of the word phobos. And it means exactly the same thing, but the context in which it is found can completely change the meaning. Fear is forced, but phobos can also mean reverence. Reverence or respect is earned. And our question is, has God earned our respect? In Revelation 14, it says, and he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. Now, the word fear doesn't mean afraid there. It means reverence and respect, a different thing. And I'll just finish by saying this. There is a fear that God commands and a fear that God forbids. A fear that builds you up, and a fear that tears you down. A fear to gain and a fear to lose. There is a fear that Christ brings and a fear that Christ relieves. The fear that you want to gain is what the Bible calls the fear of the Lord. The fear that you want to lose is the fear of anything and anyone else. Amen.